Welcome to Ad Exchanger Talks, the podcast devoted to examining the issues and trends in advertising and marketing technology that matter most to you.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is Zach Rogers. I'm the executive editor of Ad Exchanger and the host of this program. And my guest in the studio today, John Suarez Davis, but everyone calls him JSD. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today.
It's great to have you here. For the listener who doesn't know, JSD was educated in Chicago, where he got his first agency experience. Leo Burnett, is that right?
Actually, right before Leo Burnett, there was I started at the direct response division of Ogilvy & Mather called AI Coffin Company.
Okay.
And then on to Leo Burnett.
And after agency years, he was on the marketing team at Kellogg. They were a very early adopter of programmatic, and there was a little bit of a rat pack of guys there, including JSD, Bob Arnold, who is now at Google, and Aaron Fetters, who's now at Comscore. I hope to talk a little more about that. You went on to Crux, switched from marketing to brand side to tech side, and today you are the chief strategy officer of Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Thrilled to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start on your personal background. How'd you get into marketing, and then how did it come that you made the jump from the agency side to the brand side?
Right. Well, that's actually, it's an interesting story in that, and that's why I kind of even mentioned AI Coffin Company before Leo Burnett, because, you know, right out of school, I started at the direct response division, and, you know, that's where I started in the accounting department, and I learned the mechanics of marketing communications in a direct response agency environment, and I went from the accounting department to the media and account service and strategy, and I really highly recommend that anybody that wants a career in marketing should spend some time on the agency side. I know that seems like a crazy statement maybe in today's age with the trials and tribulations in the agency world, but it's one of the best places where you can truly understand the craft and get a cross-functional, you know, experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and then as you said, I did that at WPP, and then at Leo Burnett, and then I moved over to the customer side and joined Kellogg's.
Were you working on Kellogg right before you?
Yes, went over.
Yeah,
it's okay. Exactly correct. Yeah, I was leading up multinational accounts, Kellogg's being my primary one, and you know that was a really interesting time in the industry. It's when all the large CPG companies started to wake up, right? That mass marketing was starting to lose its effectiveness to drive the growth, and it was the rise of the internet. Mm-hmm. And Kellogg's was an early pioneer in trying to understand how to use data, and at that time, new ways of engaging with consumers through programmatic advertising, and had just a fantastic opportunity to work with the Rat Pack, the dream team of Bob Arnold, Aaron Fetters, and others. And it was a really exciting time.
Yes, it was. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But let me ask, did you consider staying in the agency world and having a career there? Or when this opportunity came up, was it a no-brainer?
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent question. I really believed early on that the greatest marketers in the world would have this cross-functional experience and capabilities. And again, that's why I started in the agency world. And then I think if you're a marketer, you inherently in you you want to own, right? You want to get to the customer side at some point. You want to understand and apply your craft at how to build brands. So I will say it was a no-brainer in the sense that I could get to work at one of the most iconic companies in the world and work on brands like Special K and Frosted Flakes and Eggo and et cetera. So
diversifying your experience was important to you.
Absolutely.
So agency, brand, tech.
Yeah.
I don't know what you haven't done yet, but maybe publisher side?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Is this a job offer?
No. Yeah, sure. Come work for Ad Exchanger.
And I think you hit it really importantly, though, and that's when I left Kellogg's to join Crux in the marketing technology side. I'll tell you, I had 50% of the people said I was crazy. Why would you do that? When you finally get to the customer side, you don't leave the customer side. And then I had another 50% who I really consider the most my mentors and progressive marketers and said, it's exactly what you need to do. You need to go and get into marketing technology because it will fundamentally, it will change how marketers, you know, connect with consumers and build brands.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about the move to Crux. Let me do it all in chronological order, though. So you came into Kellogg's, and there you are, working with Bob Arnold, who was what I would think of as one of the very first evangelists for programmatic advertising.
Absolutely.
Did you know at this point what programmatic was? Was that a word to you?
No, I mean, I will be nothing if not transparent, honest with you. Bob Arnold walked into the office and my office, and he said, JSD, if we are going to increase the effectiveness of our digital, you know, working investment, we need to move into buying audiences and not buying places. Mm. And I looked at him and I said, well, that makes a lot of sense. And then he said, it's about programmatic. Mm-hmm. And really from there on, you know, we doubled down and as I think you know, and you've reported on, we had a student body movement, and we were one of the most aggressive CPG marketers shifting into programmatic advertising.
Certainly you were. Now, was there tension internally around that movement? Because what we hear often is that when marketers are trying to ramp up internally with programmatic, often they make enemies because they're disrupting agency relationships. They're often ignoring key publisher partnerships that have existed for years or decades. It's a different way of thinking, and it's often rejected by conservative elements within a brand.
Right.
Were there people at Kellogg's who just hated you guys?
Yeah, as people are listening to this, I hope they didn't hate us, but you played it back absolutely correctly.
Yep.
It was, as we say, it was hard yards, early going. Again, you know, Kellogg's, right, is a 100-plus-year-old company. They have you know, decades-long relationships with publishers. We're not talking years. We're talking decades-long relationships. And we have, and Kellogg's had just fantastic agency partners. And it was a new way of working. And so we absolutely, it was hard yards, and people did, you know, yeah, we faced a lot of resistance. But I will tell you, one thing I learned during that whole exercise, two things I learned. Number one, it's all about understanding our brand owners' objectives, right? And again, this goes back to my point about why the agency experience is so valuable. I intimately understood that in order for our group to succeed, we needed to deliver on what the brand owners were incentivized to drive, right? And that's growth and the increased effectiveness of their marketing investment. And the second thing I learned was when you got great people like the Bob Arnolds and Aaron Fetters and the rest of the team, the Betsy Lazars who came over from General Motors Media, you let them run the play. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And we held ourselves accountable. And we made mistakes, I mean, along the way, but we delivered.
Was there a CMO or another executive there who was sort of sponsoring you, giving you cover so that you didn't exhaust all of your currency?
It's exactly right. A gentleman named Mark Baines, who was the CMO of Kellogg's and then went on to be the CMO of Keurig. I will never forget it. We were in a large meeting with all the BU presidents and brand owners, and we were starting to talk about how we were going to shift our investment, again, you know, going from direct to more, you know, buying audiences, and we got the resistance that you kind of just really did a nice job of articulating. Mark had kind of snuck into the back of the room. Nobody knew he was there. And after hearing some of this resistance, he slammed his fist on the table and said, I want to know what it is that is going to change the behavior of our organization, right? And how are we going to move forward? And it was the defining moment for us because we all looked at each other and said, we are a team. We're going to deliver on these objectives. We got to let these people, right, run the play. Mm-hmm. That's why we brought him in here. We brought these subject matter experts in here to run the play.
Okay, great. So you did this for a while. How many years?
Almost 7 years ago.
7 years marketing cereal.
Yeah.
And
snacks and frozen. I got to the rest. It's
snacks and frozen.
Well-diversified portfolio.
Indeed. And then you left. You went to Crux, which was one of the, first tier of DMPs, run by the visionary founder, Tom Chavez. Mm-hmm. What appealed you to that opportunity in particular? What did you do for him?
Well, A, you just nailed it, really, vision. Kellogg's was one of the first to use a DMP. That DMP was Crux. I absolutely bought into Tom's vision that, you know, data would play an increasingly important role, not only in marketing, and I think we'll talk about this, but in all parts of business, and that there was a fundamental change from using, you know, small data, to use a term, and aggregated data, and survey data, to big data, again, and, you know, taking all these signals in, and that technology was going to facilitate this new era of providing marketers and businesses with, you know, with insights and activation that we'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. I bought into it. And I will tell you one other thing is that, you know, no matter how good you are or how deep you are, you know, on the customer side, as you well know, you can't fully understand the marketing technology, ad tech technology until you get in and practice it. And mm-hmm. It was a huge, you know, it sure as heck came true when I went to Crux. Mm-hmm. It was a big learning curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What surprised you most when you ended up, when you showed up for work?
When I showed up for work the day one, I told my wife, I it was pretty far along in my career. I joined Crux as the chief marketing and strategy officer. And after day one, I thought, wow, I mean, this is a unbelievably complex world. And I mean, this is big. And I got to say, I walked out of that first day like, holy crap, what I do, mm-hmm. you know? But it was the best decision I've made. It was just... Purely. I've learned so much from these brilliant people.
So startup culture, usually it's like hard work, grinding it out. Like, whereas I think of a brand or an agency, I think everyone has their role and it's you get home in time for dinner. At least brand. I don't know about agency.
Yeah, not so much on the agency.
Not on the agency. Yeah. On the agency side, you burn the midnight oil.
Yeah.
And then you burn out by the age of 30. Yeah. But no, so was that in play for you? Just this culture of like, wow, I'm working a lot more often, longer hours.
Yeah, you know, I would say...
Or was Crux already to a point of maturity where the roles were a little better defined and people had a work-life division, separation?
It'd be hard to totally talk about the trajectory of Crux, but, you know, when I joined, it was full-born startup, and as you said, Tom and Vivek, the co-founder, I mean, it was a hard-charging... Mm. I mean, the saying was, you know... Don't relent, right?
Right.
And so, but I will tell you the difference is they described it like a roller coaster, and that's exactly what it is. One day, right, you're going to take over the world. The next day, wait, are we going out of business? Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so that was that was foreign to me. Clearly, at Kellogg's, that and you know, I sometimes think people say on the customer side or brand owners are you know have it easier. The bottom line is brand owners have a P&L, hard P&L at the day, which is one of the most utmost responsibility one can have. But on the Crux side, it was just kind of a new way of working and incredibly dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the difference.
Okay, great. So, how long were you at Crux before Salesforce?
Just shy of 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. When Salesforce acquired Crux.
Got it. And that was a big moment for AdExchanger. It was a huge story for us. We kind of. Sort of been expecting something along these lines. We didn't know when it would come or what form it would take. But now, you know, you're the chief strategy officer at Salesforce Marketing Cloud, which includes Crux and a number of other components.
Correct.
We'll talk about what SMC is.
Okay.
But let me just ask you, in terms of like being absorbed into just an enormous Silicon Valley technology giant, one of the biggest and fastest growing. What are your observations about the difference?
Well, as you said, Salesforce is an incredibly, you know, successful company. It's the world's number one, you know, B2C and B2B CRM platform. And, you know, we have something called the Ohana, which is family in Hawaiian, right? And I will tell you, it is like one big family, hard charging as ever. But, you know, coming over from Crux, we shared a lot of the same values, trust and innovation and diversity and growth. So that coming over to Salesforce felt actually very natural. It honestly, in some ways, just felt like joining a much larger Ohana, a much larger family with, of course, resources that, you know, we just simply didn't have at Crocs. I mean, it's an absolute, you know, Salesforce is just a global power. But I will tell you that not only were the values very similar, but just the amount of just brilliant people, right? And all these cross-functional disciplines has also just been great.
Okay, great. What an exciting moment. You're getting, as a, you know, robust data management platform, you're getting drawn into an opportunity where the amount of data held by the customers is vast. I mean, the first party Salesforce and the first party data it manages and holds for its clients, marrying that with a DMP was an exciting opportunity. So let's talk a little bit about that. And not only the DMP married to the Salesforce core products, but also what is Salesforce Marketing Cloud? What was it before you got there? Maybe just define it and describe it for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Salesforce Marketing Cloud, you know, fundamentally it's one of the leading, you know, digital marketing platforms in the world. We just, you know, recently passed $1 billion in, you know, revenue this past year. Yeah, so it's incredible, like you said, it's incredible growth. Before Salesforce acquired Crux, you know, the data management platform, it was already a world-leading, you know, digital marketing platform with fantastic capabilities in email and mobile, you know, messaging as well, you know, as social. All kind of wrapped around our Journey Builder product. And then, you know, fundamentally, that's about delivering connected, personalized, real-time, you know, experiences across the consumer journey. And, you know, that's what the Marketing Cloud was. And honestly, that's what it is, you know, today as well. And I think we're seeing that growth because we are delivering solutions, you know, in the marketplace that marketers and, again, all their cross-functional you know, business owners are looking for. You know, for example, the Salesforce Marketing Cloud and the Salesforce Commerce Cloud are the fastest growing clouds at Salesforce with over 40% year-over-year growth. So it just kind of shows you, right, as you said, you know, we're taking the 18 years of the world's number one CRM platform, and now, you know, right, we're enhancing the, like, other parts such as the Marketing Cloud and Commerce Cloud, you know, to deliver these solutions.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And I should say for the listener, a little shameless plug here, JSD will be presenting at our industry preview conference in January.
That's right. Next month, right?
If you want to hear more on SMC, you know, next month, a mere 5 weeks, please check it out. Talk about that growth, $1 billion run rate this year. Phenomenal. 40% year over year revenue growth. What's driving it? What are the, if you will, specific factors that are, you know, throwing fuel on the fire?
Well, I think the, you know, again, marketers, our customers are looking, right, to deliver. They're looking to get closer to the consumer, and they're looking to deliver these connected, personalized experiences across the journey. That's what they need to drive the growth they're looking for. And you know, they're doing that within the discipline of marketing, of which the Marketing Cloud is delivering on. But it's more than that. You know, in this age, we referred to it at Dreamforce as the age of intelligent marketing. And intelligent marketing is about consumer engagement at scale, not only in the marketing channels that, you know, the practitioners have lived in for a long time, but increasingly across commerce and service and communities. And the marketplaces is, you know, responding to that. They're responding to an integrated customer success platform that we have at Salesforce, and then how the clouds, you know, deliver on that. That's what's driving the growth.
Okay, great. And how's the integration of Crux coming along? I mean, those things can take years.
I got to tell you, I'm really proud. I heard all the you know, discussion when Crux was acquired, how, to your point, how long integration takes. But I will tell you, just it's been 1 year. 1 year since Crux, now the Salesforce DMP, you know, was brought into the Salesforce family. All the teams are integrated. The product, right, sits right in the Salesforce Marketing Cloud. And we've been able to innovate just within this last year. As I believe you may recall, we launched Data Studio, you know, a couple of months ago. And what a fantastic example of not only integration, people, the product, but we've actually been able to innovate and launch an entirely new product within that year. So I think that just, that, you know, that kind of shows you the progress we've made. And I'm as you can probably hear, I'm really proud of it, because we heard a lot of people say it's going to take an extraordinary amount of time.
Sure.
And no, we delivered.
Okay, great. With the Crux customer base, historically, both publishers and advertisers, is it skewing more towards the marketer now that you guys are part of Salesforce and away from the publisher use case?
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question. And as you know, Crux started, right? It had its legs in the publisher side. And that was by choice. That was a very strategic decision to do that. No matter how much marketers have data and how they're increasingly looking, right, to use data to drive their effectiveness, as you know, it's your business. Publishers have more. It's their business, right? And so Crux cut their teeth on being able to handle significant amount of signals from publishers, and then, you know, moved into the marketer use cases. And so what we're seeing is we still see a great balance of publisher and marketer use cases today, just by nature of the size of the, right? The end market, marketers will continue to be a larger part of the business, but that is not a shift in our strategy. That is simply a result of the size of the markets,
of the opportunity.
Exactly,
the marketer opportunity is just much larger,
significantly larger. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who has their hands on the keyboard with SMC more? I mean, I assume it's the in-house marketer, but to what extent are agencies involved in using SMC, the product, the suite?
Well, yeah, and this is a really important point, right? Because especially when Salesforce acquired Crux and brought the DMP in, and now, as I said, mentioned launching Data Studio, what you're starting to see is the marketing cloud evolve into a total solutions platform. And what that means for marketers, and what that means is that various parts of the partner ecosystem will then, to your point, get its hand on keyboard. So, you know, the agencies play an incredibly important role in using many parts of the Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Mm-hmm. Just as you pointed out, there are other parts, other products where typically that can be found, you know, in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a broad range, and we are committed to, again, customer success is we're very focused on it. And what that means is that we need to deliver these solutions in the ways that the marketers' ecosystem can use them. And, mm-hmm. and agencies are a very important part of that.
Okay, great. I assume, though, the marketers are the ones holding the paper, holding the contracts.
It depends.
It does.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to paint that as a broad brush. It really depends who's holding the paper.
Okay, got it. So I don't want you to show any cards, but talk about the future of Salesforce Marketing Cloud from a product and feature standpoint. What's coming for you guys?
Well, and I think that's really can be kind of best done giving you some customer examples if that would help too, because I think, you know, we today, as I mentioned, are a leading digital marketing platform, but really, again, where we're going and the vision is, you drop the word digital. This is marketing. We're not making a distinction between digital and analog as we move forward. It's a marketing platform, and that marketing platform needs to deliver these connected, personalized, real-time brand experiences, not only in the marketing channels, but again, right, across service and communities. And that's driving our strategy around integration of our cloud. So, for example, Fidelity, right? Fidelity, we refer to our customers as trailblazers, and these are innovators, disruptors. They're continually learning how to push their organization forward. And Fidelity is a fantastic example of this. They've got something that they focus on called the moments that matter, and that is about delivering, right, these exceptional experiences from hire to retire. And what they're doing is they're using the Salesforce Marketing Cloud to send, a billion messages a year, engaging with roughly 25 million plus consumers. And they're using the Marketing Cloud to do that. But then we're also integrating with the Sales Cloud so they can have, other people, their financial advisors, understand, right, when to deliver the right message to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of gives you a real life example of where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about enhancing our point solutions.
Sure.
Marketers don't want enhanced point solutions. They want enhanced integration. And that's a great example.
Sure. It's that omni holy grail. It's
omni holy grail.
Everything from email to digital display, video, skywriting.
Experiential to commerce. So Adidas, Adidas is another wonderful Trailblazer customer. And, they spend an incredible amount of time understanding their consumer, these deep insights. And now, you know, the number one the number one store for Adidas is adidas.com. Mm-hmm. And that's being, run on Commerce Cloud. And now they're using Commerce Cloud and Marketing Cloud, again, to deliver these connected, journeys. Mm-hmm. And so that is absolutely clearly where Salesforce as a company, as it pertains to delivering these connected experiences, are going. And Marketing Cloud is playing a key role in that.
What about media execution? This is something that analysts and journalists like to speculate about. Will the Marketing Clouds, yourself included, buy DSPs?
Right.
Do you think that you will either buy a DSP or enable media execution or bidding type behaviors at some point within your cloud?
Yeah. Well, as you know, media is near and dear to my heart, having spent a good amount of my career on that side. Mm-hmm. And I will absolutely tell you, we are focused on delivering connected consumer experiences. And that clearly, and media plays an important role in that. And we believe that marketers are looking for stack solutions. So the way we're approaching it is partnering with the entire ecosystem and key, media channels. Mm-hmm. And we believe that that's really where the focus is. We are focused on the customer success platform, the key integration across our clouds, and consumer engagement.
Okay. All right. Great. Artificial intelligence. the ANA has just voted that their word of the year for 2017. Certainly, there was a lot of hype and buzz and jargon around AI, and some of it was real. There is such a thing as AI. That's not just a rebranding of big data, or not just a rebranding of algorithmic optimization, which have both been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So, what's AI, and how's the Salesforce AI offering evolving? Because you guys have Einstein.
Absolutely, we've got Einstein, and I'm really bullish on this. I know there's a lot of hype around it, but I have to say, our focus on Einstein is really about the democratization of artificial intelligence. I think, as you know really well, there are not an abundance of data scientists in the world. The competition for, great data scientists is unbelievable. Mm. And so we absolutely are focused on democratizing AI, putting that in the hands of our trailblazers so they can apply the artificial intelligence to the objectives and opportunities and problems they're trying to solve. It's a massive focus for the company. And I totally realize, that there's a lot of hype around it. In fact, probably it being named being anointed the phrase of the year will increase the hype. But, the reality is, let's talk about real stats for a second. In our state of marketing report, our data shows that 50% of marketers are using some form of AI to enhance, their marketing communications. And the ones that are using AI, 3/4 are saying it's having a significant impact. And, let me just give you a quick example. Like Fare Compare, which is an online, a travel company, they are using Einstein artificial intelligence to understand how the propensity of consumers to open an email, to take an action in an email, and what that action may be. And, they're using that and they are applying it. And they're seeing a 13% increase on revenue by applying artificial intelligence. We're in the early, early stages. But I think that we would be remiss in the industry to just pass it off as a hype. We're in the early stages. We are seeing tangible results, and we're continually on a journey to learn more how to apply it.
Okay. It's a thing, everybody. So let's step back and talk about the market more broadly for just a few minutes before we wrap. So from the marketer's point of view, what's the most painful or difficult change that's happening right now that you see?
I see, marketers, and boy, marketers absolutely cringe, right, when they hear about, marketing is going through a transformation. I mean, there's just, let's talk about an overused word. But the reality is, you know, we have moved marketers as a general statement. We've moved from this era of mass marketing to digital marketing to what we're referring to as intelligent marketing. And the marketer, what I believe the biggest pain point the marketer in that journey has gone from hundreds of marketing technology point solutions to thousands of them. The marketing technology landscape is highly fragmented and really complex. And very clearly over this last year and what we see for the future is a consolidation. We see that marketers have said, okay, you know what, time out. There's too many marketing point solutions. We're now moving to more stack solutions. And what marketers are doing is they're putting more value on the integration of technology than, you know, specifically any best-in-class point solution. So that's a major shift that we see playing out. We saw it play out in 2017, and we see it actually increasing in 2018.
You mentioned the shift from mass to more one-to-one.
Yeah.
That what comes with that shift is the realization that there is and always has been a great deal of waste in advertising that can be removed. And I think this was the year, from my point of view, that there started to be an expectation upon marketers and all of their supply chain partners that that waste actually be removed, whether it's something that wasn't visible, something that was fraudulent, something that simply reached the wrong audience or was poor quality in its placement. The removal of waste. And it's really hard because, you know, doing it requires, well, new point solutions, right? Mm-hmm. And it also requires a very kind of line item by line item sort of analysis of where your dollars might be ineffective. And I think that probably is painful for a media director on the brand side.
I think you're spot on. And I would say this is, to your point, I think it's been a tipping point, right, of this idea of transparency. Although we've been talking about it, to be clear, for some time, Bob Arnold and Aaron Fetters both talked about transparency and waste 5-6 years ago. But I believe you're correct. This feels like the turning point year where it is simply no longer acceptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing, you know, significant change in the marketplace.
2018, what's your prediction? Give us one or two.
I got to tell you, I am unabashedly so excited to be going into 2018 because I think this is a great time to be a marketer. I think everything that we just talked about and even how we talked about the demand for transparency, the demand to hold marketing investment accountable at a much more granular level is going to be a great time to be a marketer and to be in the marketing technology as well as a brand because now we start to have the solutions to do what we've wanted to do, which again is deliver this, you know, consumer engagement, but at scale. So my first prediction, if you will, is that you know, marketers will continue to double down on more integrated solutions that will allow them to enable data to drive effectiveness, right? And so you kind of, again, see prediction is shift from point solutions to integrated stack solutions. And the second prediction I have is that it is going to create a new wave of creativity. You know, we've focused on so much of the marketing effectiveness and data side, and I think that you're going to see the creative agencies, the creative firepower of this marketplace start to really understand how to leverage data and the technology, and I think it's going to open up some fascinating new ways to connect with consumers.
All right. Really interesting. Terrific discussion. Thanks so much, JSD, Salesforce Marketing Cloud.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, listener. We'll see you next week.
Produced by Bigfoot Music and Sound in New York City.